This portion of Tea to Green brought to you by Swan Law, funeral directors serving Colorado Springs, El Paso County, and the greater Pikes Peak region since 1912. That's 100 years of serving families with dignity and heritage. They're at 501 North Cascade here in Colorado Springs. Online, www.swan-law.com. Jay Ritchie alongside Jerry Butenhoff at the Broadmoor Resort, Colorado Springs, Colorado. And this week in Denver, the 2012 U.S. Amateur Tournament was going on, one of the big events in golf. It used to be a major. It no longer is, but it is a huge event. The women's was last week. The men's this week. They played at two courses in Denver, Common Ground and fabled Cherry Hills. And one of the participants, I was up there early in the week. Jerry went up later in the week. The first part of the week was stroke play competition. The latter part of the week, which concludes today, will be the match play competition. And Jerry will update us more on that in our final segment of the show. But one of the participants this year, Jerry, was Gary Nicklaus, one of the sons of Jack Nicklaus. And, of course, because Gary was playing on Monday and Tuesday, Jack Nicklaus and wife Barbara were in attendance watching the golf, and we had a chance to, along with some other members of the media, catch up and talk to Jack Nicklaus, who was first at Common Ground on Monday and then at Cherry Hills the following day on Tuesday to watch son Gary play. And ironically, somebody asked Jack about watching golf these days, if he gets a chance to do much of that. And his answer may be a little bit surprising.
I go to, you know, football games and baseball games and lacrosse games and soccer games and, you know, what have you, and pretty active at that. And but we haven't had much golf. And then Gary, I didn't even know Gary was even trying to qualify for the National Amateur. Like, I was away from home. I got home. I said, "Oh, Gary qualified for the Amateur." I said, "Oh, great. Well, that's terrific. I didn't know it." So that was great. But and I think he probably told you the story, you know, when he was here last time. I never really ever got to play. Spent it all in intensive care. So I think it's nice to have him come back here after all those years. 19 years since I've been there, so I'm looking forward to it. Is that nice golf course?
How did that rate among your favorite courses?
Well, any place I win, I like. Okay. And I would be pretty stupid if I didn't. So, you know, I like Cherry Hills. I mean, yeah, I almost won there in 60. And then I don't know where I finished in the Opens and the PGA, but I don't think I was terrible. Mm-hmm. And I've always liked Cherry Hills. I've always enjoyed the golf course. It's always a golf course of discipline. You can't, I guess you can. Arnold took a run at the first hole, but most players, you better have a little discipline and sort of just put the ball in the right position and thing. And I mean, I had that opportunity in 1960 to play the last 36 holes with Hogan. And you want to talk about discipline and control and just absolutely just magnificent. And that was a great lesson for a young guy to watch Hogan play. A nice golf course. I enjoy being there, but it's, you know, I'm here to watch my son, not to see Cherry Hills.
Were you surprised at all when you heard that Gary was getting back into the amateur competition? And what were your feelings about that?
Well, all my boys got their amateur status back. I had three pros, and they're all three amateurs. Gary was the most competitive of the ones. Jackie was a really good player too, and he still plays a little bit. If you're not going to play professionally, you're going to go play amateur. You know, heck, I'm sort of thinking maybe I'll go get mine back next year. How about that?
Jack, everybody knows about your 18 pro majors, but some people don't know you won U.S. Amateur twice. Mm-hmm. How does that rank in your list of accomplishments?
Well, when I won the amateur, it was considered a major at that point in time. But, you know, it's obviously changed through the years as professional golf has become more dominant on the scene. But my amateurs were my particularly the one in 59 when I beat Charlie Coe down at the Broadmoor. That was we were all even coming to the 18th hole, and Charlie hit it just over the back edge of the green. I hit it in about 8 feet short of the hole, and Charlie chipped it almost chipped it in. And here I am, a young 19-year-old kid with an 8-foot putt to win the U.S. Amateur, and I made that putt, and that was a big putt in my career because it told me that I could do what I had to do under pressure at the right time. And so that sort of propelled me forward. And then I played pretty well after that, I guess. But once I got through with winning at Pebble Beach, which, of course, I love Pebble Beach, and I won there in 61, there really wasn't a lot for me to do in the relate to amateur golf. And it was sort of my feeling that I wanted to be the best I could be at the game of golf. And the only way I could do that was to play against the best, and that's play against the pros. So that's why I turned pro.
Rory McIlroy broke one of your records yesterday.
Yeah, that's great.
Did you think it was going to last that long, or did you think?
I didn't even know it was a record.
No.
I mean, all I was turned the television on and said, "Oh, it's Jack won by 7 shots. Oh, that's the record. Oh, okay." I didn't know about it, but he played. I sort of watched. I didn't watch a lot of it, but I saw a lot of, it seemed like he was in the rough a lot, and all of a sudden, all he goes to see birdie, just kept making birdies, and he played, he scored awfully well, and that's sort of been his pattern to get ahead, and once he gets ahead, he doesn't make many mistakes, even though if he hits bad shots, he doesn't make mistakes and give strokes back, so I was very pleased for him. I like Roy a lot. He's a nice young man, he's a good player, and he already had a pretty good record, but he's got a great future in front of him.
Speaking of majors, you've said that you thought Tiger would break your record. Do you still feel that way?
Probably.
He hasn't.
It's getting less each time you talk about it, but it's he's such a good player, and he's such a talented and so focused. I would sort of suspect he will, but then again, he's hasn't had very good weekends in the four majors this year, so time will tell.
You went through some stretches, some slumps.
Oh, we all did. Sure.
And when you were going through those, what was your feeling? Did you ever feel like you'd never win again, or?
No, I never paid much attention to it. Usually the slumps were dictated by my laziness. I got sort of complacent and I sort of didn't work at it. And all of a sudden, three or four majors passed. And I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" I go kick myself in the rear end and then go back out and play, and went back to work and so forth and so on. I don't think Tiger has not been to work. I think he's been to work. Mine were really from my own complacency and not focusing on what I was doing. I mean, I really enjoyed my career. I enjoyed my life. Golf did not dominate it. My family dominated my life and my career. That was far more important to me than a golf tournament. I was going to have another golf tournament next week, But as it turned out, I did win a few tournaments, and I guess I got a record that somebody's shooting at. But I never that wasn't my goal when I started out. My goal was just be the best I could be at it, but also live a life. And I think I've been very fortunate and very lucky man to be able to do the things I wanted to do with my family and my kids and my grandkids, and also play a sport, but then also get involved in the design. After my sport, to stay in my own sport and be able to have another career, I've been a pretty lucky guy.
You had some interesting comments in Orlando about golf 2.0, thinking out of the box, needing to think of that. What, got some ideas that you can share with us?
Well, golf 2.0 is just trying to grow the game of golf. It's just I don't even know what 2.0 meant. It was a computer term, I guess. Isn't it? And so I said, what does that mean? Just the growing of the game, right, in the many different ways. And we're struggling with our youth. We've lost 36% of the kids quit the game of golf since 2006. 23% of the women have dropped out of the game. Another statistic that blows my mind is that if you don't start golf by the age of 8, if you start after that, 89% of them leave the game. And I think that's become because of the age of today, of the park systems and team sports and the sports that are played in the park systems. I mean, all my kids, they don't play golf anymore. They go on the weekends. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You guys are all that way. On the weekends, you got your kids, and they're started 4 or 5 years old, and they're playing. They're playing football, and they're playing basketball, and they're playing soccer, and they're playing baseball. They're doing all these sports, and by the time a kid gets to be eight years old, he's picked 2 or 3 sports. Mm-hmm. It didn't used to be that way. I played all sports, but we didn't have anything organized, and you didn't organize anything until you're 11 or 12 years old. But today they do that, and so it become abundantly clear that golf needs to get in the park systems. We get into the park systems, and we figure out how to take the game and start with clubs that aren't going to hurt somebody, a ball that's not going to hurt somebody when hit them, and have probably movable greens, maybe artificial greens, mm-hmm, that you can move around. We play on the baseball fields when they're not playing baseball, play on the soccer fields when they're not playing soccer. And get into a team sport and get kids together and draft them like all the other sports do. Mm-hmm. I think the kids are going to have a blast. And what it'll mean is that a bunch of kids will take up the game of golf. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they're playing golf, but they aren't playing, when you play flag football, you're not playing football. When you're playing basketball with a six 6-foot hoop and a little ball, you're not playing basketball, you're playing t-ball, you're not playing baseball. I mean, but you graduate into those sports, and we need a way to graduate things. And tennis has done a wonderful job playing the half courts and the little nets and bringing young kids in. They've done a great job bringing a lot of kids in. So golf needs to do a lot of those things. I think they need to think out of the box, and they need to think ways to just introduce the game to kids. And kids and women play the game, and they need to have some success. The game has always been too difficult, and so they start now with the same golf balls and the same clubs. They need to have bigger holes and easier ways to play, and so that they can learn and play, so that they say, how do we graduate into the game? We have fun doing what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've got lots of programs. The PGA America is very big on it. The USGA is big on it. We're into getting into the schools with the first tee and so forth, and I think we're working on getting into the park systems in a lot of places. And so I think you're going to see a turnaround for golf, and it's about time we thought that we needed to not be so stodgy and say, hey, your game's okay. Well, that's not okay. It's like everything else. You got to work at it if you want to be successful.
Are you playing much?
I don't play at all. I play once a month if I have to. If I don't have to, I don't play. And that's about what I am. I did play a couple of days ago, and I'm sitting at 168 yards. The previous hole, I was about the same distance, hit a 5-iron, wasn't even close. I sat back and just ripped a 4-iron, and I got it there. I mean, that's like 4-iron's about 230 yards for these guys, and I'm hitting at 168. No, there's no competitiveness in that. Now, I love the game of golf, but I lost my ability to play, and so I lost my vehicle to my competition. And you can't compete with that. The way I play in $10 will get you a cup of coffee most any place.
Going to Augusta or next year?
Yeah, oh yeah. We'll go back to Augusta. Yeah, absolutely.
Jack Nicklaus on tee to green. Hitting a 4-iron these days, 168 yards. I always wanted to play golf like Jack Nicklaus.
He's dialed his game back to my distance. We can play from the same tees now. That's awesome. That was a very interesting long answer that he gave about getting golf into the park system and that sort of thing.
He had some great points there.
Well, he did. And when he brought up the fact about the tennis and tennis under 10 is one of the programs he was talking about. And we've had some people on the show here over the last couple years that are making some inroads to that with the foam golf balls to start young kids out, and the city of Denver is one of those that is getting golf into some of the high school athletic part of their athletic programs in the high schools and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So there are things being done to try and grab that youth. It's just like any sport, the youth is the future of the sport, and you've got to grab them, keep them in, and make it fun for them, or they're going to go elsewhere, like he said.
He's definitely given it some thought, and he has some great ideas. I'd like to see him get more involved in incorporating some of those ideas.
Yeah, and generally when Jack talks to people, they listen, and if he can get some of those words out that he told our pool of reporters there on Monday, and get some real golf, movers and shakers to get involved in that sort of thing. It'll work, and it'll be successful.
By the way, that was Tom Kinsler from the Denver Post and Gary Baines from the Colorado Golf Journal and myself who had a chance to talk to Jack Nicklaus on Monday. Jack told me after the interview, it's been 52 years since he won the U.S. Amateur here at the Broadmoor, and he said, I haven't been back since. I got to get back down there.
He does.
Yes, definitely.
He can play with us because we hit from the same tees now.
Yeah. Only difference is he's got a plaque out here.
We'll work on that.
We don't have a plaque yet. But Jerry's working on it, and he's going to come back and take us on tour when we return. This is Tee to Green, the golf show, live from the Broadmoor Resort, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Thanks for joining us today.